Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Scanning the frequencies.
Hello, hello, everybody. Tonight's a special show. Hi, Fave. Hi, Dave. How you
doing?
Hey,
how y'all doing?
Hey, hello.
Well, tonight's a really, I'm kind of excited about tonight's show to have Bobby Gallo on the show, and because I know him, and I'm determined to figure out where from. And oh my goodness, I believe he's calling. I think.
Oh.
Hold on. Hold on. Let me. Fantastic.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Oh, welcome.
Right on.
Hey,
Bobby.
How's everything going, guys? I heard you talking about me.
Oh, yes.
His ears are burning.
Bobby, where do I know you from? Is it Fort Mifflin?
Not Fort Mifflin, no.
Gettysburg?
Gettysburg, absolutely.
Gettysburg.
The phenomenology?
Yes, I was at Phenomenology.
Yes.
I was also at the Bash.
Oh, God. The Bash. And how about Pennhurst? You been there, too?
No, just Phenomenology.
I just had to get this out
bash.
Of the way. Okay. Okay.
That's where
all
we
right.
know each other
that's
from.
It.
Yes.
Yes, it is. I knew it. All right. I was like, I knew your name, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I knew your name.
Trying to figure this out. I just said Fabian booked you.
Yep.
Well,
so,
I get around a lot.
Yes. Well, there you go. Did you ever go to like the Salem Con or anything like that when they had them up in Salem?
I haven't been up to the Salem Con yet. I was over now. The same people that run that also run Paracon, which is up in Ansonia, Connecticut, and we were there last year.
Oh, how was it? It must have been great. Oh my God, I missed.
It was great.
Years, I'm gonna cry.
Yep. It's a great event. It's just really warm in there because they don't have any air conditioning, and it was like 100 degrees, and we were just melting.
Oh, oh
yeah,
no. So everybody, just tell us a little about yourself, what you do. I mean, we know, but, like, tell the people listening how long you've been at this and all that jazz. And of course, you're from Jersey, so I'm originally from Perth Amboy. So,
oh, there you go.
Yep,
Southern Jersey girl.
Yep,
yeah,
I
I'm originally from Jersey.
Well, no.
We're in Pennsylvania right now. So
we
relocated a little bit.
So there you go. How come you moved? I got to ask you this. Because how come you moved?
You'll love this reason.
Yes.
Because we found the perfect haunted castle for sale.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
Oh, that's the best reason to move.
Right.
Best reason
right.
to move.
That's a very good reason.
Oh, yeah. God, seriously.
And I
that
am calling
like
you
reason.
From.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call it Castello Gallo, and I am calling you from the haunted hallways right now.
Oh my God, you guys live there? You live there, right? Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
You live in the. They got some gorgeous castles up here in PA, don't they? Oh my God.
They do. They
is
do.
It far away? Is it up in.
I'll be honest.
Where are you at? Up by the
There's
Pocono?
No way I could ever afford anything like this in New Jersey. So, it was just a no-brainer for us.
Oh my God, seriously, you're not kidding. Oh, my God. If price is getting more outrageous over there, it's insane. Okay?
Insane.
No, it's not.
Right.
But it must be beautiful. It must. Is it, what year are we talking?
Well,
was it
it's
built?
Actually, It's an Italian castle. It was actually built in 1928, and it's all imported brick that was imported from Italy. And the town that I live in, it was known for textile manufacturing, and the man who owned all the blouse mills in the town, this was his house. So he spared no expense.
Oh, my God.
He got all the bricks imported from Italy, and he built this house. I mean, it's an amazing house, and it's got secret rooms. It's crazy.
Uh-huh. Oh my God.
Cool.
That's fantastic. Oh, my God. I mean, and especially with the Italian brick, I can identify with the Italian brick being put over. You know what I mean? So it's extra special. All right? So that's awesome. Do you investigate your own home?
No, I don't. Now, when I moved in, my family was still in New Jersey. I moved in here a couple months ahead of time because my kids were still finishing school in New Jersey. So when I first moved in, the ghosts were very active. I would hear them making a racket at night. I would see shadow figures walking down the hallway from my bedroom. I would see a ghost cat. As time went on, things got more quiet, and now we hardly hear anything at all. So I think it was basically maybe past owners just checking us out and making sure that we weren't going to do too much remodeling.
You nailed it. They wanted to know and they like you, so they're kind of calm and quiet.
Yeah, they were.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, wait a minute, who's moving in here? Wait a minute, who are these people? Exactly. What's he going to do to our house? You know,
it's amazing. I mean, so much of the house is original, you know, so.
It has not changed
in 100 years.
Oh, my God. I would love that. They have some really beautiful. I mean,
awesome.
Pennsylvania has some really cool castles. People don't realize that.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah.
You know, you get the castle houses. Even here in Norristown, they have the whole tops, you know what I mean, where they look like medieval castle houses, you know?
Right.
And people don't know that.
Yeah, and the thing is, the beautiful thing about Pennsylvania is, I swear, it's one of the most haunted states in the Union. I mean, there's
It really is. Without a doubt.
Yeah,
we're happy to be here. Haunted.
And doing, you know, we're trying to film more content, and you know, so it's a great state to be in if you're a paranormal investigator, for sure.
Oh my God, it is the best. You can go to Valley Forge and walk through the woods, and shit happens.
Oh,
we recently did. Yeah.
We recently did an episode in Valley Forge. Yes.
I saw that a couple of days ago. I'll let him tell you.
What happened?
Yeah.
Yep. When you were in Valley Forge, you get a little girl by any chance? But anyway, go ahead.
Bobby,
are you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, I know. Yeah,
we had phone problems earlier. We're good, though.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell us what happened when you were on that investigation.
Yeah, well, we went on that investigation, and it was interesting because the first two areas, we weren't really getting a lot of activity. And then we went to the Virginia encampment. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? Something tells me we're going to get activity there because the Southerners who came up Pennsylvania, they weren't accustomed to the cold. And it had to be hellish to them. So as soon as we went into that cabin, things started to happen. I mean, we got we had fresh batteries in our camcorder, and they completely drained. And then when I asked one of them to pose for a picture, they did, and we actually got an anomaly on camera at the exact spot where we asked the spirit to pose for a picture. So yeah, it was a good investigation.
It is, and it don't even have to be a night in Pennsylvania. You could be walking anywhere in Pennsylvania, and stuff can happen. Seriously, like Valley Forge, people don't. They don't take into consideration with the history behind all of that. I mean, Pennsylvania is historic, period. Like, it's got mega history. I mean, a lot of places,
I mean,
but like, it's everywhere you walk, basically.
Tr- true. And everybody hyper-focuses on Gettysburg, and I understand Gettysburg is, incredibly supercharged with paranormal energies. But, 2,000 people died at Valley Forge, and people don't realize that. And they didn't die happy deaths. It was malnutrition.
Oh, God.
It was hypothermia.
Smallpox.
It was disease.
Smallpox, right?
Disease.
God.
And, one of the generals, there's actually an inscription on one of the stones there that said, it's inconceivable what the men suffered because, we're not talking one or two people that died in a haunted house. We're talking about 2,000 people. So that land,
and
a lot of people don't investigate that place, but I'm telling you right now, that place is very haunted.
It is.
Absolutely.
And I'm like 5 minutes from there, from Valley Forge.
Yeah.
So, 10 minutes, I don't know, King of Prussia. I'm in North Zone, so it's right next to King of Prussia.
Well,
and I was there
funny.
Even,
one of the Gallo family ghost hunters, she goes to university there, too. She goes to Immaculata University, which is right near you.
Oh, that big, the Catholic one, right? It looks like a castle, too. Is that the one? Oh, my
That's
God,
the one.
Seriously?
Yep.
Oh, she's close. Oh, yeah, that must be haunted. I mean, my daughter.
Well, that was built, that was built on the site of a Revolutionary War battle. That university.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And that's
it's definitely going to have a little bit of activity floating around that.
How is she handling
Absolutely.
It when she's in the, does she live at the dorm there? Is there a
she
dorm?
Does.
Does she live there?
Yeah.
Oh, like my daughter was in Chestnut Hill. She went to Chestnut Hill, that place with the big old building there, the Catholic one. And it was, she said the same thing. All right, but that's crazy. And she investigates, right? Because you investigate with your family.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah. She's
well, like
she's the youngest one. She's the fearless one. She started investigating. We started investigating with her when she was 8 years old. She's in college now, but she was 8 years old when we started.
Yeah. Good for you.
Eight
I'm
years
proud.
Old.
That's really good. That's what I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
she's fearless.
And back when we started investigating. This was back in 2011, and back then you could count the paranormal web series on YouTube on one hand, literally. There was nobody doing it.
Oh, yeah.
We started out because I was personally investigating since 1989, but I got out of it for a lot of years to raise a family, and my kids never knew that I was a paranormal investigator. And one day, we're down south at the time, and they're cruising the TV shows, and there was this brand new television show on called Ghost Adventures. and I said, oh, this looks interesting, and the kids wanted to watch it, and all of a sudden they were enthralled by these three, there was these three random guys that were going out, and they were investigating haunted places, and they just absolutely loved it. So we're watching it, and we're
it
about
runs
10 episodes in,
the family.
In, right? I'll tell you, we were about 10 episodes in when I said, okay, this might be a good time to tell them. I turned to them and I said, kids.
Yeah.
I said, hey, kids, daddy used to do that too. And the world just stopped at that point.
Yep.
And they go, you did? I said, in fact, it's almost exactly like what they're doing right now on TV. And immediately, the kids wanted to go ghost hunting. No fear, no hesitation. I had an 8-year-old and I had a 12-year-old, and they wanted to absolutely go ghost hunting. And all of a sudden, we went out, and it was crazy because, I had brushed up a little bit. I got some more, some newer equipment because back in 89, we didn't even know what we were doing. We didn't have any examples.
Yeah.
There were
We're just the same. Yeah.
Yeah, the term paranormal investigator wasn't even coined yet. We used to call ourselves psychic investigators.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's absolutely correct. Yes.
Right. Yep. We were psychic investigators.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we basically had. an analog cassette recorder, the big VHS tape recorder that goes over your shoulder. We had a candle, a pendulum that we made out of an old key on a piece of string. And this is it. This is what we went investigating with because we didn't know what we were doing. And, you know, so when I got the new gear and I went out with the family, immediately we started getting all kinds of activity and evidence. We just wanted to get one EVP, one piece of evidence. How cool would that be? But we were getting tons of stuff. So I said to them, I said, you know, I'm typical dad. I'm recording everything. I said, you know, maybe I should put this up on YouTube and see what happens. So we put one of our experiences on YouTube, and it absolutely exploded. We were getting tens of thousands of views, and you know, and it wasn't just the paranormal aspect. It was the dynamic of the family who ghost hunts. People were fascinated by it, and.
Yes.
It was funny because all of a sudden people on Facebook were going, this is great. This is like another ghost show to watch, you know, outside of Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, and Paranormal States. Those are like the three original ones. And
they sure
are. People were like, this is, nobody was doing it at the time. So we just went out and we went crazy. We went all over, you know, the East Coast investigating. And then, years later, I floated it out to our fan base because we developed a really big fan base, especially in Europe. We were really popular in the UK, and they were inviting us over there.
That's cool.
Yeah, they were inviting us over there to investigate haunted castles and all this other stuff. And you know, the problem is we were going to have to foot the bill, and we really couldn't afford it at the time.
Passports. But
I asked them, I said, hey, if I wrote a book, would you read it? And all of a sudden, our fan base that we developed over the years said, oh, yeah, absolutely, you got to write a book. So I wrote a book, and it was called Family Spirits, and now this was about 3-4 years ago. And it went to it hit number 3 on Amazon in the adventure travel category. And it exploded,
And
believe it or not,
sure
enough, we sold more copies in the UK than we did in the United States.
They love it. They absolutely love it. That's why.
They really
they do.
Take it, yeah.
Yep. They do, seriously.
Yeah.
And I mean, they live it.
There's so much supernatural and paranormal in their culture. There really is.
Oh, my God. I know.
They don't even think twice about it over there.
No.
They get ghosts,
yeah.
And they're like, we got ghosts. So what? Big deal. And then, you know, they come over here,
right.
And ours are a lot different than what they're used to.
They're like, what the hell happened here? But,
yeah.
but when you, and I got a question for you, Bobby. Were you raised like, because my dad was Italian. He raised me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And God rest his soul. And were you in the house, like, when you were young? Did you have the whole, you know, watch out for the evil eye, you know, all that kind of stuff going on? Or was it just me?
No, it
you
was
know,
me too.
Like, you know, okay.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
So,
you know, this
open.
Is what a lot of people don't.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but you know, in Catholicism, there's a lot of mysticism, and there's like the saints, the lives of. If you study the lives of the saints, and those people were psychic. Those people were mediums. I mean, they didn't
they
call
were.
Them that, but they were. And that's why they were able to connect with the other side the way they could. And, you know, so basically it's and actually very recently, because, you know, I know a lot of fundamentalists have a problem with what we do.
Yes.
But the Roman Catholic Church very recently actually lifted the moratorium on communication with the dead because
they do.
There's a lot of priests doing it now.
Yeah. And look at it, the Pope's pretty damn cool. That's all I got to say. He's the coolest Pope we have, I think. I think so, because he's, like, opening the doors to everything. Okay, everybody, let's just go. But, I mean, they would have to approve it through the Vatican, right? Like, you know what I mean? When it pushed up
approved. It was approved through the Vatican, I write about it in my first book because I did some research on it. And, they're pretty much cool with it. I mean, you know, they're like everybody else. You got to be careful. You know, they know that we're dealing with spiritual entities. You don't know what you're talking to. the bottom
right,
line
exactly.
is you're not forbidden from doing it. Like, you know, a lot of the fundamentalist religions, Christianity will tell you that everything you're talking to is a demon, which is just not the case.
Right.
And
right. That's nonsense.
That we already, that is very honest. John Zappa said it himself, 99.99% of cases aren't. So, you know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Just like you get that 1%, you know, that's the thing.
Of course.
Just that last 1%. And being that, like, I grew up, like, my place, I wasn't really South, my mom was South Jersey, but my place, I was right across from Staten Island, so I kind of grew up in, like, by New York and stuff, and
sure.
Perth Amboy is very haunted, too, but we grew up in a very openly paranormal house. Every day was a ghost story, and my whole family, I don't know if you did the same thing, was there always, was it open? Did you talk about it a lot?
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
We used to joke
Thank
about
God,
it.
I'm
they
not
always
alone.
Used to say, they always
yep.
used to say, my mother always used to say, my grandfather said, if you cry at my funeral, I'm going to haunt you. And we'd all laugh about it.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the kind of, yeah, pretty much that's what, the way that I grew up the same way. And then when, you know, my dad would get a headache or something like that, this is exact words. Oh, shit. Somebody talking shit about me. I got to go see Aunt Mary. She got to take the eye off of me. That's what he would say. And he would go over to Aunt Mary and take me with him. You know what I mean? And she would do the whole.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah. And
I
do. The whole ritual. And yeah. And we had the Catholic priest come to our house and bless our air conditioner that was haunted. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Literally, we inherited the air conditioner from a cousin whose parents used to argue all the time, and they had passed away. And the air conditioner literally had voices coming out, no one in the house. And I always was be able to hear.
Oh, that
like,
is
good,
the coolest story ever.
Oh, my God. But wait, nobody told each other, right? So Diana Milano, she comes in. She's like, when she comes in the house, she's like, in the middle, everybody's just sitting there, the air conditioner's talking. She's like, what? Wait a minute. What the fuck? Why are there voices coming out of the air conditioner? Everybody went, the whole family was like, oh, my God.
Well, you
like,
know,
oh my God.
You know, I believe.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
I believe in haunted objects, so, but I've never heard of a haunted
yes.
air conditioner. But, hey, why not?
It was. And then the priest came over, Father Dan, from the church, from Holy Rosary, and he came over and did the whole blessing and everything on the air conditioner, and he never did it again.
Isn't
it
that
never,
something?
It was the funniest story because everybody was sitting there having the party, the usual get-together, and they're like, oh, my God, we're not crazy. Nobody told each other. So it was funny. The whole scenario, yeah, it was pretty funny, like going back to that time period. So you've been around it long enough to be comfortable with it, and you made your kids comfortable with it, and that's really good, like I did with mine.
Oh, yeah, that is. I did, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
yeah,
you know,
right? It's just comfortable.
Let me tell you something. I've taken the arrows of people that said, I can't believe you're bringing your kids on a ghost hunt and exposing them to demons and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I tell them a couple things.
Uh-huh.
I said, first of all, there's more to be afraid of the living than the dead, okay? I said, I will take ghost hunting in a cemetery any day over walking down the streets in Philadelphia where you can get carjacked in broad daylight these days. You know, I said, I also tell them, I said, look, I said, this experience has made them strong, fearless women. I mean, my kids are afraid
yes.
of nothing after
yep.
doing this.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, you
yep.
have grown adults that the mere mention of a ghost, they they curl up into a ball because they have phasmophobia.
Right.
I said, my kids don't have any of that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah
you know, and
they were conditioned that way by their parents and their
yep.
grandparents.
Yep, but that the good thing about that is, and you're right, you raise them and the fear, you know what I mean? Because fear is the big issue with the kids. I mean, my two, Jade and Mikey, were pretty much raised at Fort Mifflin. So that's an upset right there.
There you
Fort
go.
Fort Mifflin is where they were raised. All right, and so every day was, you know, Mikey walked in there the first time. Now he's 20. I think he was about five. And he walked in there first time. And he's like, "Who's the little guy?" Well, he said the other word. Who's the little person that's standing on the wall there? He's dressed in a uniform. And then we come to find out that there was a little person that used to feed the prisoners food, and his name was Michael, the same as my son. And that's the first person that he saw there. Yep, on the standing up by the wall behind the thing. So it was like, I guess, you know, but for him that was nothing, you know?
Right.
And I guess you did the same thing with your kids. It just became comfortable.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Have you ever been to Selma Mansion?
We have not been to the Selma Mansion, no. What we normally do and what we have done, and, you know, if people read our book, you know, you could see all the places we've investigated. We would always seek out, now, occasionally we would do some of the more famous places like the Castillo de San Marcos and St. Augustine, places
right.
like that. But we would seek out little or unknown haunts that were either
yep.
very rarely investigated or never investigated. And those places would be hopping
uh-huh.
with activity because the spirits there, they weren't used to, you know, they weren't part of a paranormal
mm-hmm.
attraction. They never saw people.
Yeah.
So when we would go there, they were so eager to communicate, and they would do almost anything we asked. And I'll give you a great example. I think your listeners will love this little story. We were at a southern plantation. We were living down south at the time, and I was reading on the internet about this small family burial plot on this plantation that was private property, and it was supposed to be very haunted. So I said, okay, you know what? Let me go to the plantation and speak to the owner. So I went there, and there's this big plantation house. I go up to the front door. I knock on it. This elegant lady appears. And I asked her, I said, look, and I said, I'm a paranormal investigator. I said, you see all those people in the car there? I said, that's my family, my wife and my two daughters. Oh, how cute. I said, yeah, exactly. I said, would you mind if we investigated that little plot on your land? Oh, no problem. And she tells me this big history of the family, that the guy who haunts it is a Revolutionary War hero, and his name is Thomas Pratt.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay. I said, would you mind if we come back here at night just in case any police come by? And they go, oh, no. She goes, no. You just tell them I gave you permission. I said, great. So we go there, 12 o'clock midnight. From start to finish, the activity was crazy, but here's the coup de grace. My oldest daughter, Nikki G, she's taking pictures with an infrared camera. And my wife is communicating with the spirit through the dowsing rods. And once again, I said, would you mind if we took a picture of you? And the dowsing rod said yes. And I told Nikki G, I said, start taking shots in infrared only. She starts taking pictures. All of a sudden, I hear, Dad, I'm like, what? She's watching something in the LCD viewfinder of the camera form in front of my wife. She goes, you got to see this. Mm-hmm. I said, no, honey, we'll do evidence review later. I'm trying to, like, be Mr. Professional here, right?
Yeah.
She goes, no, you have to see this right now. And what it was a series of shots where the spirit slowly formed into a full-body apparition, as tall as me, standing
God,
right next to me and my wife. And
oh my God!
It's one of our most famous pieces of evidence. It's in my book. It's also online. You can watch the episode. It's called "The Hidden Grave of Thomas Sprott." If anybody says,
mm-hmm.
"If I just watched one episode, which one?"
Yeah, 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 yeah. I just watched it. That's the one
I was going to
ask you. I was going
to
ask you about. Yeah, I was going to ask you if that was who it was because I just watched that an hour and a half ago.
Oh my God!
That's the one.
I got to watch that one.
There is absolutely. It's in the video. It actually shows a full body apparition right there. It's amazing, amazing capture, by the way.
Bobby mentioned that he found off the you know chart. I did the same thing. Pups. That's how Selma Mansion actually opened. Well, I contacted the Norristown Preservation Society to go investigate the mansion. And that's how the doors got open, and it was the same for us. The minute we got in there, everything started happening. One night was insane in one night. You know what I mean? Because nobody had ever been in there to investigate and talk to the spirits. So I understand exactly what you mean. We did that at a couple other places, too, like Castlebury House and things like that. That really didn't get any attention. So what was your favorite out of the places that were off the, you know, radar?
I can answer that. That's, to me, the one that pops into my brain immediately is this old 250-year-old burying yard called Old Unity Cemetery. It was in Fort Mill, South Carolina. And the second you walk, the whole place might be an acre, if that. And as soon as you walk in there, you could feel the energy. Now, later on, I was told by a shaman friend of mine there was probably a portal there, but that's not the point. The point is,
we have our
second best piece of evidence that we caught at that cemetery. And what it was this. My wife and I went there. We were testing out a new piece of equipment, and nothing was happening. Well, I had my EVP recorder going the entire time, and I forgot to shut it off. So it was in my pocket, running. I was not doing an EVP session. The sun was going down, and my wife and I decided we better start heading back to the car because this place is really dark. There's no lights, and there's fallen gravestones everywhere because, you know, it's an old colonial-era cemetery. So we're tripping over footstones and everything, trying to get out, and we're kind of laughing and everything at ourselves. And when I get home, I take the EVP recorder out of my pocket, and I realize I never shut it off. And I said, oh, I can't believe this. I never shut it off. Well, all right. Let me download the footage onto Audacity and just listen to it.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm listening as we are leaving the cemetery. And I hear my wife and I laughing. And all of a sudden, a third voice comes in out of nowhere. And it says two full sentences. It says, come back. And then 5 seconds later, don't leave now.
Let me tell you,
I'm going to warn you, this is the most haunting EVP you will ever hear. I was on another show called Our Haunted Lives with Dave Taylor and Christy Grissom on Paraflix, and we played this on the show. And Dave, I'm going to quote David Taylor. He said, Bobby, that is the EVP every investigator dreams of getting. and it was completely by accident. We didn't ask for it. It was a female voice, same voice in both EVPs, thematic, two full sentences, and it was relevant to the situation. We were leaving, and she said, come back, and then she said, don't leave now. And it's on an episode called...
And it was accidental.
Well, the episode is called. Let me just give the title of the episode so that people can go and hear it. It's called
We
Were Not Alone. We Were Not Alone is the episode.
Oh, we'll check that out. And I'll definitely check that out.
Beautiful. I think it's beautiful because a lot of times, you ever notice when you're investigating, you guys, David, Fabian, did you ever notice when you're in the middle of a conversation sometimes or talking and you got the recorder running, you come back and there's somebody talking in the middle? It doesn't belong there. It seems like the accidental times we get more because they're interacting with us. They're like, hey, what's up? We're in a conversation. Hey, we're here. Yo, you know what I mean? And I think that accidental sometimes is the blessing.
Those are the best ones, man. I've got a few of those myself. But nothing like that, Bobby. That's quite remarkable.
Once you watch the episode, I go through the EVP on Audacity and I amplify it. It's going to blow your mind. The hair on the back of your neck will go up because it has that kind of vibe to it. I mean, it's creepy as hell. I mean, it really is. But we went back at later times and we found out who the spirit was. Her name was Nancy. We had a lot of interactions with her at later times. But But she didn't want us to leave. Apparently what we were trying to communicate through didn't work, or she didn't know how to do it. But she knew how to talk into a recorder, and she did.
Right. She was talking to you probably. That's why. Like, literally, imagine, like a spirit form standing there talking, and the recorder picked it up. You know what I mean? So the recorder is what captured her voice.
What's weird about it was that her voice sounded closer to the recorder microphone than my wife and I. Like, we sound like we're in the distance. She sounds like she's talking right into the recorder. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think that's fantastic. And what way that happened?
Bobby, what was the name of that show again that's on?
We Were Not Alone.
We Were Not
Alone. That's right.
Okay.
We Were Not Alone.
Thank you.
Yes. We Were Not
I'll
Alone.
I'll definitely listen to that.
I want to hear that because I've had a couple similar like that where you're not trying to get it, and then you get it, and you're like, what the hell? Oh my god!
Yeah,
but not
that's
like that.
One of our
that's
top
that one. Like, don't leave. Yeah, like don't leave.
Yeah, come back.
Like
she says, come back, and then don't leave now. I mean, it was like, come back, and then don't leave now. I mean, you can even hear the enunciation of the words, which is very rare.
Yeah, that's the good ones. What about now? Do you think that's because she wanted her story to be told? That I'm going to ask you that. Like, know who she was and know that she still existed?
Yeah, I think so. But here's the thing that we're still trying to figure out in a lot of these investigations. You know, whenever we try to talk to them and really get down to some of these deep philosophical questions, like, are you in heaven? Are you just visiting? Or are you in purgatory? Are you stuck on earth? Any of those things, we don't never get answers to those questions. We get answers to basic questions.
They tell me they're right here. Like, I'm supposed to understand what that means.
Right.
You get it? They're right here.
Or
like,
they'll say,
but we can't.
Or they will say, they always ask for help. And then when you ask, well, what can I do to help you?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yes.
Yeah, there's either no answer or, like, one time we were at Kings Mountain Battlefield, which I'll tell you a piece of evidence we got there. And then I asked, it said, help me out of here. It said, actually, that's the EVP said, help me out of here. And then I said, well, what do you want us to do? Pray for you? And he was like, no. Well, I don't know what else to do. you know, it's kind of tough.
It really is. I have a spirit guide that's been with me since a child. His name is Walter. I didn't know that. He had other names when I was a kid. I named him everything. My parents knew, you know what I mean? But I don't see him anymore. I just hear him. But when I've heard the help me's on that, like I run the Frank's Box because Frank Sumption was my good friend, like my best friend, to be truthful. And so when I go and I hear them say help me, then Walter will help them. And I just stand there looking stupid because I don't know what's going on. And they're like, go with Walter, and Walter's going to take them into the light. But I still don't know where that is. I still don't know where that is. Do you understand? Like, no matter what.
Y'all do.
You get it? Like, all right, like, I know it's the light. Okay, we know that. We're familiar with that one. But I don't know where that goes after they go there. You know what I mean? And it's always so curious. Like, when you see history, you must research a lot of history, right, to go along with things when you find names and stuff like that. And that's what I do. I'm real good at historic research.
Yeah,
and
me
when
too.
Put the pieces together. It's like a puzzle that the pieces are so scattered, and then you've got to pull little piece by piece and put – it takes forever. It really does. It does. It takes a long time. You work – how many times you go to that cemetery with that one?
Oh,
we went
a ton of times. In fact, if you look at our earlier episodes, so many of them are in that cemetery because it was so active, it became almost like a control area of sorts. You know, it would you could
yes, I do.
Literally
yeah.
You just, we just got so much evidence there.
That's like me with Fort Midland, being there so much, so many years. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
It's the same there for me as it is at the cemetery for you.
Well, here's another accidental piece of this is another accidental EVP, but it was an EVP/AVP because we were in Kings Mountain Battlefield. And, you know, the most common phenomena at that battlefield that people have heard is the sound of a phantom horseman galloping through the park.
Ooh.
And we're walking through, and I have everything running, and all of a sudden, it was me who heard it. I heard the galloping. I stopped the family, and I said, hey, did you hear that? And they're like, hear what? I said, the galloping, I just heard it. I said, I heard it up on the ridge, right up there. And nobody heard it. We get home, download the audio files, and there it was. On the audio files.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I got it recorded.
Don't you love that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Not only did I get it, and you know, I have a very hardcore skeptic friend of mine. You know, there's some people in the paranormal that exist just to debunk everything. He's one of those guys.
I know who you're. I think I probably know who you're talking about, but go ahead.
I'm not going to mention his name.
But you got
to
love him.
He listened to this EVP, and he said, what did he say? He says, oh, that's what he said. He goes, I love evidence like this, because that he couldn't deny this one.
That is awesome.
So then we went back date. We did another investigation there, and it was returned to Kings Mountain. And the second time, my wife and I heard it both at the same time. And
you
now
did?
She
again?
Heard it.
What time?
Again.
Was it the same time that you heard it last time? I'm curious if it was the same time, like each time.
It was the same time, but I can tell you for sure that I could pinpoint the spot where it happens, because we were on the bottom of the ridge when it happened the first time. The second time we were actually on the top of the ridge, and the sound was coming from between those two spots. And we actually got that one recorded too, but it's really hard to make out, but it absolutely is there. But my wife was floored. She goes, I just heard it too. I said, yep, so did I. And then we actually recorded
that
as well.
That's brilliant. I mean, something. That's
you gotta,
a repetitive.
You gotta love
like,
that, man. That's
like
awesome.
A residual, like galloping. So I was wondering, like, if it's an actual spirit with a horse, you know what I mean, or a residual that happens for a certain reason at a certain time, you know what I mean, and the energy was strong that was left behind, you know what I mean, that it repeats. We had that in Perth Amboy. We had a cobblestone road, and if you went there around midnight and sat very quiet down the waterfront, right, you would hear the horse and buggies. We did that as a kid.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That
I mean, if you watch that episode, Return to Kings Mountain, when I look at my wife and I said, did you hear it? You can see the color drain from her face. And she goes, seconds
of
it. I'm like, yep, we got it.
And it's great. That's fantastic. Oh, I got a question, Bobby. You're a musician, right? Also?
Yes.
And a musician.
Yes, I am.
Wait. You're a musician. What do you play?
Bass guitar.
You're a bass player. I'm a guitar player. Yeah, that's
wonderful.
I play
guitar too, but not as good as I play the bass.
Yep, and I play bass too, but it's not as good as guitar. All right. I'm curious if you think, I'm going to throw this out here because you are a musician. Do you think that musicians are more in tune with almost like a frequency more towards the paranormal because of the music? I wanted to know if you agree with that. I'm wondering. Well, people who love music.
Yeah, I mean, it would make perfect sense. Music is very ethereal, and you know, so is the paranormal.
Uh-huh.
And, I could see that absolutely. In fact, you know, it's weird. You know, I've come under fire, you know, in years past, because I put a little background music on our episodes because for production value, because I don't want them just to look like, you know, we're taking a vacation and these are home movies. But the music does something else. It really puts you in the right frame of mind. And I think that's important. It makes you more susceptible. It makes when the events happen, I think they have more of an impact. So I do think it's a factor for sure.
It definitely is a factor, especially with our. You know how you get in that mode when you're playing that zone, like my son's doing right now in the other room. But you get into the zone when you're playing, and you know your mind, how you got that ear. I think that plays a lot into the whole factor and the way we hear, the way we can pick up. You know what I mean? Things that maybe somebody else wouldn't hear right away. Things like that. Like we're in tune to something a little tiny bit deeper, you know, a different like wavelength. I don't even know how to describe it. Scale and the frequency.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say what I was thinking about with that whole train of thought you had. Musicians train your ears for the different notes, the different frequencies and sounds of the notes that you're playing, right? EVPs are generally captured in a frequency that you normally can't hear. And being a musician yourself, you're more tuned into those frequencies.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
It's
true.
I really think it's true. Do you use because I use music like when I investigate too. You know what I mean? Like I will like either play, you know what I mean, or use period music if it's a certain place or whatever it is, and kind of like I see sometimes it draws the activity in. You know what I mean? Like they're more
active. Yeah, trigger music. Sure, absolutely.
Especially fun ones. Yeah. And it does work, and I was curious. And a magician you are too, right?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so
I am.
That plays another part in it. What's your famous trick that you pulled?
I knew you were going to ask him that,
Lisa. How do you really cut a woman in half?
Hold on, guys. Mike is. Kyle, text Kyle and let him in because I can't. I'm on the radio show. He just texted me. Okay? All right. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay, I'm back. All right.
No problem. I used to be a full-time professional for 15 years, and there's a really there is such a close relationship between magic and the paranormal, because a lot of people don't realize this, but Houdini devoted half of his full evening show to debunking fraudulent spiritualists.
Oh yeah.
Now,
While there were
fraudulent spiritualists, just like there are today, because, you know, all these psychic mediums, they're not all real. Some of them are for sure, but not all of them.
I know.
You know, some people just
not all the charlatans.
Yeah,
cold
I mean, some
readers,
people just want
you know
to be psychics, you know. But the
thing
is, even back then, there were the real ones and there were the fake ones, and he wanted to debunk the fake ones. And half of his show was devoted to that. So, always been this kinship between what we do and what magicians do, and that's why it's really easy for me to spot when somebody is faking evidence. And I'll give you a great example without mentioning the television show. There is a television show that my wife and I were watching, and the two people that are the stars of this show, and it's a very popular show right now, featuring a man and a woman host. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And they come off as being very trusted and very empathetic. And I'm watching the show one day, and they had a REM pod set up in the hallway of this allegedly haunted house. All of a sudden, the REM pod goes off, and the two hosts stare at it in wonder. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I replayed it, and I watched it again. And then I replayed it, and I watched it again. Well, what happened was the REM pod was in the middle of the hall, but there was a room on the other side of the hall. The camera was positioned such that you couldn't see it, and there was a man waving his arm up and down, setting off the REM pod.
Yeah, exactly.
And
apparently,
the producers never caught it, and it made the cut. And when I pointed it out to my wife will never watch that show again.
Yeah.
She was appalled.
I don't blame her. I agree with you. I tell her I agree.
I'm not saying names either, but I know which one you're talking about.
Yep, I'm sure you do.
I found myself with a completely different show because one particular episode caught my attention, and I rewatched it a dozen times, and I'm like, you know what? Physics will tell you that will never happen.
Okay. What was it?
But, yeah, it's if you get hit on one side of your face, you're going to fall the opposite direction, but you won't have the mark on the direction of the face you fell toward. Not if you got struck on the opposite side.
Those markets. I've told you guys, I do not watch TV. I don't think in 2013, me and the kids couldn't afford things, so we chose our phones instead of TV. You know what I mean? So I haven't really watched, except for once in a while. Like, I watched caught a couple of Dave Schrader's, because I like Dave. Dave is great. So I caught a couple of his shows, and then basically that's been about it. I don't watch TV. But I also can spot the fakes. Like, when you're holding your recorder in your hand, and your thumb is moving on it, and next thing you know, the EVP comes out. Fuck you. It's the shift of your thumb. Like, I go back to, you know what I mean, that. Like that kind of stuff, or Done.
I could go
right,
on
you
know and
I
on
mean?
About the
yeah.
things I've caught in these shows, but it would probably take
yeah.
up the rest of your
yeah.
show.
Oh, my God.
But that's why I tell people.
So
here's a question that I do have.
Going
okay. through some of your videos, have you gotten the camera sunglasses perfected yet? Did you get the infrared version of those sunglasses?
Yeah, good question. Good.
No,
question.
No, and that's a great question, and I know that,
yeah, I love that question.
You know, the ones that I'm using in the videos were, that's when they first came out, and it was like a little pinhole camera, and they were really, really shoddy video, very shaky.
Yeah.
The newer sunglasses, video sunglasses, are supposed to be much better with built-in stabilization and, you know,
mm-hmm.
better light control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm considering getting one of the newer pairs because there's a lot of times I do solo investigations. It's such a pain to carry a camera
right.
and try to do everything else at the same time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We all know
but
that.
See, I was watching that, I'm like, you know, it's too bad there's sunglasses because you really can't wear them at night.
Nope.
I can.
Because it was just,
you're right.
I'm
going to
try.
I have tried.
It was just
I've tried the sunglasses.
Right.
Yeah, and I've also tried GoPros, and they don't work for me either for some reason. I haven't found a good solution.
Too. I don't know. No, me too. Same thing. GoPros. I tried them. I did. You know,
yeah, I
hey, Bobby,
the GoPro that I do.
Bobby, I wanted to tell you something. My favorite episode that y'all did so far is the one about Emma Hardy and the flowers.
Oh, my gosh. Flowers for Emma.
Yes, that is an amazing episode.
Weird.
And not only because my granddaughter's named Emma, so I guess it kind of hit me. When I was watching this, it was so sweet what y'all did. That was awesome what y'all did for that gravesite.
Thank you.
It really was, yeah.
That's beautiful.
I
well,
get that out. Yeah, it really was.
That's my wife's favorite episode.
Yep.
That's my wife's favorite.
Neat.
My wife, you know, I mean – my wife, before we started ghost hunting, never used a dowsing rod in her life. When I gave her a set of dowsing rods, she picked them up, and it was like she was born with them. And people from all over the world have studied her hands. This woman does not move a muscle, and she can communicate with spirits. And those,
she is amazing.
Unbelievable. I trusted those things more than my most expensive equipment. And she, after an episode like Flowers for Emma, she would be emotionally and physically exhausted. She would be just completely drained from those communications. But she never faked a thing.
Oh, no, it was incredible what the rods were doing in Renee's hands. That was amazing.
She's got a gift.
That's a gift.
You got to watch Flyers for Emma. Y'all got to check that out.
Not everybody has the ability to actually use dowsing rods or pendulums to do full communication.
I know.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, she definitely does have a connection to.
But that's a drain on her because she's using her own energy. You know, they're using her. You know what I mean? Going through kind of.
That's right.
Like
that's exactly right.
To do the rod, and it will drain her physical energy. She's going to be worn out afterwards, like she, you know, just ran a marathon. You know.
I feel that way myself after I'm getting good communication with my dowsing rods.
Yep.
Not all the time, but.
When the spirits come through strong enough, it does take a lot out of you.
Yeah, it does.
Sure it does.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Absolutely.
But she must feel good
definitely.
At the same time as she's drained. You know, it's a good feeling and a draining feeling at the same time.
I mean, you know, she's had good experiences and she's had not so good experiences with them because, you know, like we always say, you don't know who's coming through. Emma was great. She just loved the fact that she was able to speak to us and she was – just wonderful. But we've had some where she got some negative stuff coming through, and that affects her as well.
Boy.
So, I mean, anything, you know, we call
that
them conduit forms of communication. You know, pendulums, like you said, dowsing rods and Ouija boards, it's all the same.
Yep.
It uses the spirit around through you.
Here's a different kind of thought. Combining two of those pieces of equipment using just one single dowsing rod and a Ouija board.
Well, that would probably
be chaos. I mean, Well, and the way I'm thinking about it is because most Ouija boards have the letters top and bottom, correct? So you've got a space in between where you can put your hand and keep your hand steady.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The dowsing rod.
Oh, you mean use the dowsing rod for the letters.
Yeah,
instead
use
of,
it as a
instead
pointer.
Instead of the same set, use the dowsing
right.
rod.
Right, as a pointer.
Yeah. Yep, that's
well,
a thought.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
people
know,
do that with a
work.
Pendulum. I mean, in fact, with a
yeah,
there's,
that,
there's
yeah,
a,
yeah.
there are pendulum charts that you can buy to lay out on a table and
uh-huh.
just use a pendulum. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen those. Those are pretty cool.
I made my own for that. For
oh,
my
there
pendulum.
You go. There you go. So you made your own chart.
Bobby,
yeah.
tell us
yeah.
more about your website. You've got several
oh, yeah.
going.
We got 4 minutes
one,
left. We got 4
yeah,
minutes
yeah,
left.
Yeah, no,
so
we're
we
getting.
Get,
I wanted you to
everything
get your plug. Get your plugs
okay.
out for us.
Well, here's the, you know, the somebody, you know, so, somebody was a genius and they invented this thing called the link tree. So now my mm-hmm. our entire paranormal world is at one URL. So if I just mm-hmm. give out that
oh,
one URL, cool. they could find our books, which is Family Spirits 1 and Family Spirits 2. They could watch our
mm-hmm.
web series, which is on every major streaming platform. And we also even have a merch page, but they can check out all kinds of stuff. Our investigation archives are also on there, and it's all at www.ghosthunter.ws.
Yes,
so that's
and
ghosthunter.ws.
Also
on
we
cut and dry.
Yeah, we also Lisa
yeah.
put
yeah.
a link
done.
To your website on our
yep.
show promo.
Yep, and it's on there
yeah.
almost. So you yep. And if anybody forgot
thank you,
what he
thank
just
you,
said,
thank
just go
you.
There and click.
No, you're
all
right,
I got
your book. I got your book, and
no,
I'm
you
waiting
don't.
On it to come in.
No, you don't. You're waiting
I'm
on
waiting
it to come
on
in.
It.
You don't have it
no,
yet.
No, I ordered it. I paid cash money for it, baby. It just hasn't got here
well,
yet, but I'm going to read it. I can't wait to get
no,
it.
No, it's there. It's there now because you're not home.
I know I'm a truck driver. I just got to the terminal, so yeah.
You know,
yes,
we thank you from the
exactly.
bottom of our heart because honestly, we make no money from the video platforms. I mean, we just don't make any money on those. The only thing
I
that subsidizes
you.
Our yeah. investigation are book sales.
Yes.
So if
yeah.
people buy
exactly.
our book,
so
we,
go out and buy
not
book.
Only will they have a great read, but it really helps us out a lot.
I look forward
yes,
to it.
Yes, and what they do is
great.
From the bottom
Family
of their
spirit.
Heart, they do not charge. Everybody read the books and really help them out because I know what that's like because I don't either for running Frank's Box and doing what I do, and it's
right.
always good to have the help. You know what I mean? And it's really good that if you go out and buy the book, you'll learn a lot more, and it's really good that you involve your family. I mean, like, this is great. This is like a family thing. I get it. You know,
yeah.
100%.
Yep.
I do with my kids. So I understand completely. So it would be great. And it was really good having you on. We have like 1 minute and 30 minutes. She's going to yell at us now soon. I see her coming. We have this blog
okay.
radio lady. she goes, y'all show.
Oh,
yes, she goes, look, she goes, 90 seconds. So we will say goodbye, and I would like to ask you, and so would Fabian and David, if you'd like to come back on again. We would love to have
yeah.
you on.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, anytime. You guys were awesome. Thank you. This was
well,
so enjoyable.
Thank you.
Well, thank you,
this
well, thank you Bobby.
Maybe,
I appreciate you accepting my invitation. Thank you.
By all
yeah.
means.
Maybe next time
yeah.
we can get some real magic secrets.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Yeah. No, no.
Bobby,
next time
we also
I
have a
jam. We'll want to hear you jam,
Bobby,
too, because I bring
you yeah, there
on.
You go. We,
right. Oh, my
we
God.
Have a video.
Yeah.
yep.
We have a video podcast,
it.
Too.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yes, we do.
Man, we can get
right.
you on that on Saturday.
All right, we got to go because it's the end of this show. Okay, good night, everybody, and please go and get a copy of Bobby's books. Okay?
Family,
thank
you so much.
Family.
And Spirit Church, too.
Yes. Okay. And support the family and the paranormal world and just support them and check out their website, check out the videos, check out everything. All right, guys, 22 seconds left. She's going to scream in my face in like 5 seconds. All right, so we are going to close out now. And thank you again, Bobby, for
thank
coming
you, Bobby.
On. Thank you. And
thanks,
and,
everyone.
Okay, love you, babe, cuz, and I
love
you, Dave. And,
love
and
you, sweetie.
I will talk to you soon. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Keep it spooky.
Good night.